Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
One of our very favorite guests. He doesn't think he's one of our favorite guests, but he really is. Doug LaMaurice joins us. Cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Doug LaMaurice. Doug, thanks for joining us this morning, buddy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Doug, we always love having you on. You don't think we love having you on because we like to grill you and you like to grill us back, but I always think it's a lot of fun here. So I got to ask you, I haven't seen anything recently, and I do apologize. What was your thoughts? Let's start off with the draft and we'll move on from there. What did you think of the Browns draft last week?
Yeah, good. Good, right? I mean, I appreciated the fact that they got one of their best two tackles. I thought that it fell to them in the right way. And then I thought there were a lot of sensible fits. I mean, does anyone not like it, right? I mean, I think that the one thing that shows with this is, you know, you hoped it before, but that these guys get some time with this because you can see that they're getting guys that fit what they want to do. And that if for whatever reason Jimmy Haslam, you know, moves on from Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski quickly, then the roster's going to have some guys on it that fit sort of like the Berry-Stefanski way of doing things and maybe don't fit the next guy. So it's the thing we've always said, that they need some continuity, but they feel like that, you know, they're building something that fits a specific plan, which just emphasizes even more, dear God, please let the plan have some time to work. Because it feels like they have a real idea of what they want to do.
The Bears declined Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year option over in Chicago. We're getting ready for year three of Baker. Now, there are extenuating circumstances here, obviously. We don't know if that maybe gives him a bit of a mulligan, but they've given him a lot when it comes to tools. Could his future be on the line this season?
Well, yeah, I think so, right? I mean, I think the thing that you have to do with the quarterback is you have to believe in him. When you pick a guy that high, whether it's Mitch, whether it's Baker, whether it's anybody that you're taking that high, you have to give him everything and give him all full confidence and every opportunity to succeed. But then you have to be ready to move on when it's time to move on. So, you know, I have full confidence that Baker's going to get it right. But we see it, these guys, right? I mean, you saw it with Jameis Winston. You saw it with Marcus Mariota. You see it with Mitch Trubisky now. You have to go all in, but then at some point you see that the decision is kind of right there for you. So I think yes, but also I'm not like that worried about it because I just think it's going to work, and I think Baker's the right quarterback and that he does have the right guys around him. But, yeah, I mean, I think it is that big for him.
Doug, one of the discussions we had right before you came on was the fun revisionist history sports talk stuff that we like to do, certainly during these times. And all I ever said back then when they took Miles was that I thought you got to take quarterback. If you believe in the quarterback, which obviously they didn't at the time, but I wanted Deshaun Watson. I wanted him number one overall. Miles has been terrific. He's been the best draft pick the Browns have had in years, and yet – I still think they'd be better off had they have taken in that draft Deshaun Watson. I didn't even think about Patrick Mahomes at the time. What do you think? Do you think it's revisionist history to go back and think about what if?
No, I think that is fair. Because he is special, right? I remember, you know, Dabo Sweeney said the thing to Mary Kay Cabot at the Senior Bowl that, like, if you don't take Deshaun, he's going to make you regret it like Michael Jordan. You know, that that Deshaun's that special. And I think for certain people that follow college football, you thought you saw it with Deshaun Watson. And I think there were some people that thought, you know, maybe more from the NFL side of things, that, well, does he fit the transition from college to the NFL? But, you know, just being around him when Ohio State played Clemson in that playoff game, you felt like that the guy had obviously the physical tools on the field, but that he had something else. And you knew when the Browns were taking a quarterback for this franchise at that point, he was going to have to carry the city on his shoulders. And I think Deshaun, in a very different way than Baker, would have absolutely been geared for that. That he could have come to Cleveland and said, like, I got this. Let's go. The locker room would have believed in him. The city would have believed in him. Again, with a different style than Baker has done. But it's funny now that, you know, everybody sort of coalesced around Trubisky as the first quarterback, but there certainly was a time initially where the idea of, like, yeah, Deshaun Watson at number one, I don't think was nuts. You know, I think that certainly could have worked. Now, I also understand the idea of build a lot of other stuff and add the quarterback a year later with what they're doing. I don't think it was, like, indefensible to do what they did. They got Denzel Ward out of it by trading out of the Deshaun spot. But I do think sometimes, you know, Anthony, obviously you could have taken Deshaun, but, man, you also could have gone Miles Deshaun with your two picks the way it worked out, and that could have been just, like, unbelievable, one of the great drafts of all time. But I think the way they went could still work. But, man, I was all in on Deshaun, too, and I think it's very fair to still consider that.
Doug Lamorese joined us on the hotline. So how do the Browns limit the impact of possibly not having all the workouts or OTAs, mini camps, training camp, whatever it is that other teams are going to be sidelined by too, but the Browns have a new regime, new front office. How do they limit that impact?
Yeah, I think it's really hard, right? I mean, that anybody who's trying to do something new during all this is just even more of a disadvantage than everybody else. I mean, I think it's the same thing, guys, that we imagine is going to drive every aspect of the Browns, no matter what the situation is, which is, like, they thought they were going to be good last year. They kind of talked like they were going to be good, and they weren't good. And all of us in life, when you talk a little bit and you think it's going to go great, and then it doesn't, you get humbled a little bit. So I would think the only way to combat, you know, a tough situation of having a new regime and not being around each other is, like, man, we are so locked in while we're distanced. We're all in the playbook. We're all, you know, asking Stefanski every question. He's constantly communicating with the guys. You just wonder how much they'll be driven by sort of it not going well last year. And, you know, you're alone, you're not together, but you have time to think about, man, you know, people picked us to win the division and we went 6-10. That's their only edge, right? The rest is, yeah, they are behind the eight ball compared to other teams.
Doug Lamorese joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Going back to that, you really think Deshaun Watson would have done that considering all the lack of support he has with the coaching staff there? I mean, you weren't a big fan of Hugh Jackson yourself from what it seems there, Doug.
No, I wasn't. I mean, I think Baker's trying to do it, right? Baker's trying to do it right now, having gone through different coaching regimes. But Baker took the city and the losing and the franchise on his shoulders from the get-go as part of it. And I think Deshaun would have handled that part of it. Would Deshaun have instantaneously fixed everything else? No. But Deshaun is also, I think, a guy who can succeed in structure and out of structure. I think, you know, I still would not have trusted Hugh to figure, you know, all those things out that needed to be figured out. But maybe, you know, maybe you just move things along a little more quickly. But, you know, I think you may have ended up in a similar situation to where they are now, right? That they still would have had some of the coaching dysfunction. They still would have had, you know, some of the quick trigger Jimmy Haslam stuff going on. But I think it's possible long term that Deshaun would have maybe had you a little bit ahead of the game of where Baker is. I do think Deshaun's special. He hasn't won Super Bowls with the Texans, and Bill O'Brien's not a genius either. But Deshaun Watson has a way of sometimes making Bill O'Brien look a little smarter, I think, than he is. So I don't think Deshaun would have been a magic elixir, but I think Deshaun could have handled all the stuff that the Bakers had to handle. And I do think Deshaun might be special, like really, really special. And I'm a Baker believer, but I also think if you believe that, everything that Deshaun is and will be, he was showing you then. And it's just a matter of did you have to believe it or not. Mahomes, it was hard to see. As you guys said, that's a little more forgivable. Who knew that? But Deshaun, I think, was there to see it if you were looking for it.
All right, Doug, Adam Schefter moments ago tweeted out that the NFL plans to release its preseason regular season schedule later this week and that it looks like there's going to be no international games. Peter King alluded this morning in his column that they could have 2 to 3 contingency schedules so that what we see this week might not even be the actual schedule. Are they rushing this along, or do you think the NFL will have this taken care of?
No, I like the idea of things that aren't happening yet proceed as if they're going to. And so I totally get, let's do the preseason schedule and then we'll change it if we have to. But let's act like everything's going to be fine. I think that logistically and just from a planning standpoint, that makes sense. But I think psychologically it makes sense. You know, I think we all need that. I think you need to be smart and cautious, but I think the more that we sort of operate under the idea of like, yeah, by August, you know, let's assume it's kind of back to normal. So let's have the schedule and the plans in place. I believe in that. And so, you know, I think we all realize, of course, we're willing to adjust. But I think the NFL has been actually pretty good with that about let's have all systems go until we're absolutely sure that we have to change.
How does Ohio State football happen this fall?
Yeah, more complicated, right? And I think it's not just that yes, it's more complicated because they're amateurs and because it's, you know, how can you play if the campus isn't open? But there's so much involved with this, with the name, image, and likeness stuff that just came around, with the constant debate about whether players should be paid. I think college football is very wary and can't be in a position of like, look, the athletes are back to work, but the students aren't in class, right? Because then all of a sudden it looks like they are back to work. NFL players are going to get back to work. College football players aren't workers. They're students. So at the moment, they have to continue to talk about, well, if students aren't doing this, how could players do this? Because we view them the same. Players are just students. They have to keep pushing that narrative and that idea. Otherwise, they're going to accidentally wind up in a spot where it's going to be very much easier to say, man, you're treating them like workers. You've got to pay them like workers. So I think that's the underlying thing of all of this, that the way they talk, the way they consider options, they have that not even in the back of their minds, at the forefront of their minds. So they're trying to, I think, salvage a way where they can put games on TV and make money that way, just like every other sport. But they also, at the moment, have a workforce that they don't pay. And that affects their decision both not only from a safety standpoint, but from a long-term standpoint on how people view, quote, amateur athletics. So it's more complicated, but I also still think it's possible and they might find a solution.
Doug, let me ask you this, and I'll pass it off to Anthony here because I do want to ask you one more other question other than this, but I want to follow along these lines. Like the president at Iowa says, hey, he expects to see football players there on June 1st. Now, obviously, these things are subject to change, as we know. But is there any sort of concern with some university presidents, athletic directors as well, going, it can seem unfeeling, but let's be serious. Is there a competitive advantage in some places? Is there a disadvantage at some places? Does it seem like this is callous where you could put people at risk to find that competitive advantage? Because, like, at a place like Georgia, hell, they're just letting your kids drive around if you got parents' permission right now. And they're like, okay, the Georgia Bulldogs will probably go back out there in the field at some point going, well, if they're going to be out there and Georgia's able to get this extra time, well, Nick Saban, I don't know if he can just sit idly by and go ahead and allow this. Like, there has to be something in their heads that obviously, yes, we're talking about public safety here, but there is something in their heads going, these are very competitive people that know that they do not want to let anybody else get an advantage if they can't get that advantage as well.
And it's tough because the great thing about college football is that it's a local regional sport. But the tough thing about it is that it's a local regional sport. And so you brought up Iowa, but also, like as you said, like with Georgia, the real issue, right, is going to be that the SEC already is ahead of everybody. And a lot of it is legitimate, and some think part of it is not legitimate. Why the SEC is clearly the best conference. And they also seem like the conference that might be ready and willing to come back faster. Just the way things have unfolded geographically with the coronavirus in this country and the way they're talking. So that, I think, is going to be an issue. And there's no czar. There's no commissioner of college football. Mark Emmert is not going to have power to decide something like this unless something changes to figure this out, that we are going to do this together and nationally. And at the moment, the NCAA does not have a thing of like, you know, nobody can do this by this date. We're all going to do this on this date. At the moment, that's not out there. They're probably going to let the conferences handle it. And I do think with some things, the Big Ten, what the SEC does affect the Big Ten. But on the other hand, the Big Ten is going to make its own decisions. So I think that is going to come potentially to a head, because in the end, being less cautious about coronavirus could be a competitive advantage. Mm-hmm. We'll come back quicker and practice sooner and maybe not be as safe. And that is going to be really hard for a lot of people to navigate. And I do think that's something that could be an issue here in the next couple months.
Doug, quickly, we know Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, those schools can be able to recover financially when it comes to football. But what about schools like in the Mid-American Conference? And if they lose a football season, they lost the NCAA money last year. I mean, how long can they go on? Could this be the beginning of something very different in the future for those schools?
I think it's possible that it pushes everything to where it probably should be anyway, which is why is the MAC trying to compete with the Big Ten on the same level? Why aren't they in a different level like 1AA, like Youngstown State and schools like that? It's what people have talked about forever. Let the power conferences break off instead of having 130 teams playing Division I highest level FBS football. Make it more like the 65 and then have the other half, have the other 65 do their own thing, do a mid-tier kind of football thing where they're not trying to say we are the same as Ohio State. We live by the same rules, by the same scholarship rules. We compete for the same title that we know we can't really compete for. I think if this does lead to that because of the financial crunch, I think it just means that's where we should have been anyway. If there's such a disparity between the people who can survive this and maybe the schools that are going to have real problems, then they probably shouldn't be on the exact same level anyway. So I understand the difficulties of it. But in the end, we might just end up pushing MAC schools toward a future that they don't necessarily want to embrace, but that they may have to embrace, that in the end might be better for them and might be better for everybody.
Hey, real quick, Doug, and I mean real quick, like 30 seconds. NASCAR set to start back up coming up in about just under 2 weeks now, 2 Sundays from now. If they're able to get through this, 7 races in 11-day span, and they come back and, hey, everybody's perfectly fine, you think that greases the rails for the NBA as well as Major League Baseball to find a way to come back pretty soon?
Yeah, I think it's possible, and I think the TV ratings are going to matter. If the TV ratings are through the roof, if the competitors are safe and the TV ratings are really good, people will say you can do it safely and you can make money and make people happy by watching at home on TV. So, yes, nobody wants to be first on this, but I think everybody's in the same boat on competitors safe, sports on TV, and I think NASCAR absolutely could play a huge role and open the doors.
Doug, we love you. We thank you for the time, buddy. All the best.
Thanks, fellas. Always fun. Be good.
The great Doug LaMaurice on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline segment brought to you by Window Nation. Shop online at windownation.com. Coming up, I want to break down a couple of things there. And, hey, you might be able to get to go to football games in NFL stadiums this fall, but you might not be able to have any suds. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.